Now as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord, and instant with a courage bold, I stood upon His word. I would not, be denied. Now Satan said, our Lord was gone. He will not hear our cry. Oh, but praise the Lord. And Christ, our Lord, is here.
Satan, he's gonna tell you that our Lord is gone, and he will not answer your prayer. But why don't you praise the Lord? 'Cause the work is done for Jesus, the mighty God.
Sing this little chorus this morning just as we get ready to have our specials. Brother Mark and Sister Tina, if you come onto the platform, we're getting ready to sing. Brother Terry, you and Sister Vicky, ever how you got that put together this morning, you all come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to come and sing for you this morning. Praise the Lord. We have other songs, but we will get to you just as soon as we possibly can. So just bear with us, all right? Please keep praying for Alex Gould. She is still in the hospital, but improving. So it's like she had a real bad bout with kidney stones. So we want to pray for our sister that the Lord would just be mindful of her. God is so good. God is so faithful. You know what? If it was dependent on your faithfulness and mine, we'd be out. We'd be out a long time ago. But He's so faithful. He is so wonderful. Do you love Him with all your heart? Is He the best thing that ever got a hold of your life? Amen. Give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Our God reigns. I want you to sing about it. Our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Oh, sing it. Yes, our God reigns.
His name is Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. Let you be seated this morning. You're singing so good. You're just about make a fellow want to have a runaway. But let's enjoy our brother as he sings for the mark. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service, Brother Terry. Good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Let's enjoy these singers this morning.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. Tried to sneak in the back this morning. Brother Louie cornered me right away. He said he wanted a song and tried to hide. And no, Brother Terry is here this morning. But we bring greetings from Evening Light Fellowship there in Phoenix, Arizona. Our pastor, Brother Ron Peterson, each one said to be sure to bring their greetings this morning. As we're driving here this morning, just thinking of the goodness of the Lord. Just thinking of the old song, without Him I can do nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail. Amen. So just sing that this morning for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Key of F.
Without Him I could do nothing, and without Him I'd surely fail, and without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus,
Do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, for without Him, how lost I would be. And so I'll ask Him to be my pilot, His word my compass and my guide, till I've anchored safely in glory. For without Him, I drift with the tide. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, for without Him, how lost I would. Sing the chorus with me this morning. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, for without Him, how lost I would be.
Praise the Lord. Let's do this together this morning. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love. Sing it with me. With Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Once again, oh, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In His arms I feel protected. Oh, in His arms I feel protected. In His arms, never disconnected. Oh, in His arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Once again, I'm falling in love. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever
I've ever done. Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be home this morning. God bless you. And I tell you what, you folks, you already know that I love you. And I feel your love coming back to me. And 38 years ago, I married my sweetheart, which was my best friend. And outside of the Lord, she's been one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Now, license was cheap back in that day, so for $25, I thought I got a real good thing. So, but she's been the wonderful thing, and your pastor, I've leaned on him so much in the last few years, and every time I've talked to him, I've said, Brother Donnie, I just don't know what I'm going to do, and when I hang up the phone, you know what? Peace would settle over me. There's nothing like that, folks. Peace would settle over me, and I would be at comfort, and I have my faith would surge, and God would see me through. And that means a lot. No, Louie over there, he's been the best friend I've ever had, and he's big brother Louie. But I tell you, folks, Jesus Christ has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Can you say that? Jesus has been the best thing.
Praise God.
I've had my share of life's ups and downs, but God's been good to me, and the downs have been few. Well, I guess you could say that God has blessed me. Cause there's never been a time in my life He hasn't seen me through. Should anyone ever write the best thing that ever happened. Oh, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Praise God.
Oh, should anyone ever write my life story, for whatever reason, whatever reason there might be, you could say I was on my way to hell. Oh, but Jesus found me. Say, Jesus, you're the best thing, hallelujah, that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing
that ever happened to me. Would you say that line with me? Jesus, you're the best thing. Oh, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Oh, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
We can all say amen to that today, can't we? Amen. Might add to that just a little bit. He's still happening to me. Amen. You really get Jesus right. He don't just happen once and you stop. It just keeps on happening. Because He is the Word. If you can imagine it, through eternity, He'll still be unveiling Himself. We know how it is in time here in this life that you look into His Word and you read His Word. Many of you have heard it for decades of your life. And yet it just keeps unveiling. You think, where was I at when I heard that preached? Sure. You think, you listened to that tape and read that scripture, and yet God just keeps making it more real and more real. Yeah. Amen. What will eternity be like? Right. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. You visitors that are with us today, we've been speaking about the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus, and how that He's given in His will and testament different classes or degrees of people. Each of them inherit according to His divine decree Himself. We don't get what we ask for. We don't get what we want necessarily, but what He Himself has already determined. Last night we looked at Cain, how that God in His mercy reached to him. I trust those of you that were here were blessed by it. Amen. Your understanding was enlightened. Mine certainly was. Today we want to look at another category of non-elect, of people that God loves and that God will do tremendous things for them, yet they're not elect. A lot of times people tend to think that election is favoritism and that election is unfair, and even to a degree unjust. But let's look and see if it is. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another. Now listen carefully how Jesus says this. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now that word is very small, but it's very powerful. As, which is a similitude or a likeness. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of My Father, blessed of My Father, inherit, which is receive by lot or an allotted portion. Inherit. Now who is it? It's the executor of the will, allocating to them now on the brink of eternity what they could not receive in time. Now listen. Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But I want you to notice there's one word left out of this, which He generally uses in dealing with the elect, and that is before the foundation of the world. I about tore my office up a while ago when I noticed that. Praise the Lord. Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation, which is the casting down or the sowing of seed in a womb, is what the word foundation means. So from the foundation of the world, this was given to you. But your portion was given to you from before the foundation of the world. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I guess we can dismiss and go home. We've been blessed. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you today for your word, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you for each one that's gathered here with us today, Lord. We pray that you'd take your word and speak to us. As a mortal man, Lord, I've studied and I've prayed and I've tried to do everything that I can to present myself and the thought that I feel like you gave me today. But as a mortal, I'm so full of frailty and mistakes and human limitations, so I ask that you would help me. If you can take that portion of yourself which you gave me, a gift in my life to help me to move aside, then I believe that we'll be blessed by our gathering today. If you don't, Lord, I'm afraid we'll all be disappointed. But we've come with expectation on our hearts. So we just ask you to take your word and speak to us, Father. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's continue this reading here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. Now the king is separating these groups of people at the white throne. It is as likened to, similar to a shepherd that is dividing his sheep. He has now divided them and separated them. And now they're going to be given their declaration of their destiny and the very cause of where they're going. Now, listen how Jesus goes into this in verse 35. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. Now notice this word, righteous. Now when the translators in the English, of course, went to translate from the Greek of the New Testament and the Aramaic, there was many words that they could have chosen to be able to make the rendering of the scripture more understandable. Righteous is one of those many words that whenever you go to comparing it in the Greek, that you see there's several different Greek words which have different meanings, but the English word would mean the same thing. Righteous is one of them. This word righteous in the English is used for the bride, but it's also the way the translators used it. It's used for the foolish virgin. But when you look at it in the Greek, the way Jesus said it, and the way Paul said it, the way Peter said it, it was two total different words, sometimes three different words actually that was used. This is dikoneos, which is in a narrow sense, rendering to each his due. So then shall the righteous say. Now it's not that they have a right standing with God as the elect does. Now the term righteous when you're dealing with the elect are those which nothing can be charged to. A right standing with God, something attributed to their account as if though they are missing nothing. But when you're dealing with this category, even though it's the same English word, it's a different category of people. Notice now the meaning. It is a rendering to each one his due. So they're getting what they're due. And that in a judicial sense. So the bride is not given her righteousness on a judicial basis. It's given to her by the elect grace of God. But these are getting it on a judicial basis. Why? Because they are at the white throne. Now, were they bride, they would never be standing at the white throne to be judged like this in the first place. So because they are there, now the judicial justice of God will render to these people that which is equivocal of what they have done in life. Oh my, I tell you, friend, I don't want to never stand there. But you realize that they are determined to be righteous, and they can be so because their works prove that they truly are. But not in right standing with God that the bride is. Now, the bride, of course, is the very righteousness of God in Him. This is what you are. Notice it says that passing just judgment on others, whether expressed in words or shown by the manner of dealing with them. So then shall these righteous people answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Now here these people have done this unbeknownst to them. Now they knew and no doubt had a recollection that they had helped certain people that they thought were quite different than them. People that they knew lived a different sort of a life than them. They never actually condemned them, even though they could not relate to them. They lived in a way that these righteous did not live. They talked about doctrines and they used terms and theological ideas that the righteous could not understand at all. But they were good to them and they helped them in time of great need. But they did not recognize that it was actually Jesus in this group of people. Now Jesus is fixing to apocalypsis himself and show them who it was. Now watch this. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as ye have done unto one of the least of these my brethren. Now here we have a major categorical group which is called my brethren. And even in the category of my brethren, we have degrees. Now Jesus didn't say when you've done this to the greatest, but when you've done it to the least. So in the category of brethren, there are those that are considered to be the least. Praise the Lord. And there are those, no doubt, that considered to be the greatest. Notice how God now, I know this bothers us, it's simply because we don't understand it. But God created in degrees. God loves dealing with creation and humanity in degrees. Even the stars. Now those of you that love looking at the stars and you love studying the stars, you know that we're fixing to move into the fall and into the winter equinox of the planet Earth. And it will actually bring the Earth around in the cycle of the skies to where that some of the winter constellations will come into their greatest view. Arcturus, Orion, Nigel, Betelgeuse, many of these great stars will reach the heights of their illumination, and that is in the wintertime. Now they are given by scientists a measurement by which, and I won't bore you with the terms by which they come about it, but by which each of these are determined by their illumination and by their luminosity. And that is the way that they are viewed from the Earth. Now, this is given in how you would look at it either by your naked eye or through a telescope, and you would see the brilliance of the sun as it comes off of the sun, reflects onto that, and we see as what we call a twinkle. All of that has the variables by which you're looking at it, from Arizona or from Tennessee or from Maine or from South Africa or from the Negev Desert. It depends upon where you would look at it from. But each of them stars
have been given a degree of luminosity. Some of them will never be as bright as others. Betelgeuse is one of the ones which is really, really luminous, made it up in the Arcturus and the different constellations, and yet a very, very bright, bright star. Many, 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 many trillions of miles from the earth. So we see that God created by degrees in the heavens. We see that God created by degrees in the earth. We see certain trees that never get, you know, in their lifetime. Look at a dogwood. You see an ancient dogwood that may be decades old, and it may not be any bigger around than this, and probably its heights will not exceed 30, 35 feet. But yet you will look at a hemlock, or look at a white pine, or a Scotch pine, or you look at something with a rapid growth, and it may not be but 5 or 10 years old. Yet it will go beyond the dogwood within a short period of its lifespan. You see some flowers, and they are so beautiful, and they so expound in such multiplying flavors of colors, rather, and how that they will bud over and over and bloom again. Yet some will bloom in the spring, and their blooms fall off, and they do not bloom the rest of the year. And you see some trees, they never blossom nor bloom, and yet they will stand there, they don't put out fruit, they don't put out anything edible, and God made them in degrees. And animals, He done exactly the same way. And then He brings it down to human beings, and He done them the same way. Some seem like they have so many talents and gifts. Others, you look at them, and it seems like they totally was at the back of the line, and they got left completely out with any types of gifts at all. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. It will be the same way in the eighth day in the new city. Now here we see that there is a class or a category of people that are standing at the white throne. They are fixing to be admitted into eternal life. Now to them, eternal life is not already theirs. It is not a personal possession that they have received while here in this earth, but they're fixing to go into. So eternal life to them is a sphere or a realm by which they will be admitted into based upon what they've done, how they've lived, certain things that they've done in life. Oh my. But yet there is another category of people standing there by them, and they're on the left. They will not go into life. Their names will be blotted out of the book of life, and they will go into that on a very similar basis as these other people will by their treatment to the brethren. So we see that category of people, and then we see those who'll have their names taken out of the book of life, and then we see there is another category which are not standing before the throne, but they are actually in the throne with the King Himself. Now they are identified. He refers to them in this parable in the sense that they are the brethren. Now here they are the ones that their treatment that they were treated on the earth is going to determine these other two categories of people of how they will be accepted. Notice the King is not saying to either of these, well, you paid your tithes and you went to church and you bought the widow some coal and you helped a little poor boy one time and you dropped off clothes at the Goodwill and you done this and that and the other. That's not what he's even looking at. But their destiny will be determined by their treatment toward his brethren. Now it shows us a value that he places on his brethren that I'm sure we as brethren still don't even see to this day. And that is, it is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus himself, deity in the form of the bride by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as you treat her, so you treat him. Oh my. When saw we the stranger and took thee in, naked and clothed thee, sick. Now notice, all these natural things, not miracles. When did I cast out devils? When did I heal the sick? When did I walk on water? When did I raise the dead? Nothing like that is even being mentioned. But it's all the natural things which are in our ability. Many of us want to do great things. I wonder if we know what great things are. Do you understand what a kind word can do to somebody that might be down and discouraged? You know, the we at our disposal. We think, well, I'm not wealthy. I don't have a lot of things to do for people. There are so many things we can do for so much of humanity if we would open our mouths and say the right thing at the right time. As a matter of fact, the scripture says how fitly that a word is, a right word rightly spoken at the right time, is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. A word fitly spoken, just something that would encourage somebody, just something that would be a blessing, something we can do every day of our life, and yet how many of us do it? Come on now, don't get quiet on me. I ain't talking about just your wife and your children and those that are your friends. Spread it around, friends. The world's dying for real love. Now notice how Jesus is looking at them. In so much as ye have done it unto the least, in this category of the brethren, of those, these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now the Lord so perfectly identifies himself, watch in Isaiah 53:4, with the human family whose nature that he assumed, that he made their sorrows and their sufferings his own. Now this is the carrying over of the office of the high priest, which will merge, of course, into eternity, the feelings of his people. So now, even though he's sitting there not as the high priest on the throne, but he's sitting there as the king. But because he assumed our human nature, and he assumed our human feelings and our sufferings, these people are still going to be judged and either enter in or cast out based upon the same basis. Watch this, Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now this is the assumption of our Lord into the human nature. It does not end because he ascends into heaven. He assumed our human nature, by so doing it would carry over into his office of the high priest. Then according to how people would treat his elect for 2,000 more years will determine their destiny when they stand at the white throne. Why? Because he assumed our human nature. So when we are cast down and hated and ridiculed and talked about by the people of the world, I would to God they could realize what they're doing when they're persecuting you. I would they could realize the great penalty they will pay for making your life harder than it needed to be in reality. And they will be the ones. Why? Because the assumption of our Lord in assuming our human nature, and he still feels when we are sick and troubled, and he keeps a record of those who cause it. Oh my, can I go ahead and preach? Watch Israel and Titan, Isaiah 63:8. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. Now notice the affinity of our Lord in the Old Testament to the elect Israelites. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Now here is the parallel of God in the Old Testament feeling with the needs and the infirmities of the elect Israelites. Watch in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet himself. He himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So he suffered with those who are suffering. He bore the affliction with the afflicted. Acts chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus comes to Paul, he's journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And yet the Lord Jesus has been in heaven in bodily form now for several years. So how was Saul persecuting Jesus in bride form? Now notice, Saul, because he was elect, the Spirit of God is giving to him on his very eve of his birth the revelation of the incarnated Lord Jesus in his bride body. This is going to be very important to Paul, as he's going to be able to reveal the mystery of the bride. No wonder he did not struggle in seeing the power of God that was revealed in the living bride. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the of pricks. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Whosoever shall give you a cup, oh my, of water to drink in my name, because ye belong. Whoever will give you a cup of water, oh hallelujah, to drink in my name, because ye belong. Are you all ready for the meaning of this word? Look at the word belong. I am. I am. It is I. Have been. To be. To exist. To happen. That's why I say Jesus just ain't happened. He's happening. To happen because you am. Because you is. Because you was. And because you ever will be. You are happening. You belong to the family of God. Oh, hallelujah for them to give you a cup of cold water because you belong to the family of God. Whosoever shall give you, notice, the Lord Jesus don't say, me. If you had lived 2,000 years ago, would you wanted to give Jesus a cup of water? Or food? Or bought him clothes? Carried his cross? Done anything you could to help him along the way? You still got the opportunity. Look around. We got a bunch of Jesuses sitting here this morning. Praise the Lord. You have the opportunity, Brother Dale. You have the opportunity, my brothers and sisters. When you do so to the household of God, you're doing so to the Lord Jesus. Now then, if you cause trouble and you inflict all kinds of things on the family of God, then that means it works against you. Amen. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because, oh my goodness, I am, it is I, have been, to be, to exist, to happen, to be present, because you, I am to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. On the basis of helping you. Now, can you get by with that as elect? Mm-mm. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, I'm just going to share on through, and I'm going to give a few folks a cup of water. Who knows? I might buy them a pop every now and then, too. I'll just go ahead and make it extra. Give them a grapefruit juice and an orange juice and an apple juice. That ain't going to work for you now, seed of Abraham. You ain't going to slide through the gate because you give somebody a cold cup of water. You're required much because you've heard much. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the real seed of Abraham ain't looking for the easy way out, no how. Oh, my. Don't you love the Lord with all your heart? Watch now. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and were cast into the sea. Galatians 6:10. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all of those that agree with you. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Unto all men. Sinners, Brother Donnie, Jezebels, denominational people, all men. Look, friends, if you ain't got enough kindness to be good to everybody, get saved. Get a good dose of the Holy Ghost. God ain't mean to nobody. God ain't hateful to nobody. Praise the Lord. Do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the I am group. Household of faith. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. Onoma. The name is used for everything which the name covers, everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. For one's rank, authority, interest, pleasure, command, excellencies, and deeds. So when you do it to the bride, you're doing it in the name of the bridegroom. Why? That's his interest. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's not just saying the name of Jesus. His interest is more than just people repeating the name of Jesus. It's everything pertaining to his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Now, let us look and see now. Whenever we go to separating people, especially in the New Testament, folks always have a hard time with it. And it's because, of course, of Armenian, a lot of Armenianism. A lot of it's because of church age tradition that's drawn down through the ages. But look at this in the church age book. The question now arises, why are these righteous ones in the judgment? There is no other place that they can come up for their but two resurrections. And since they could not qualify for the first resurrection, they must come up in the second, which is the resurrection under judgment. Now remember the rapture and the first resurrection as for the elect. There is no judgment whatsoever for those who come up in the first resurrection. Now we will come up for rewards, but even in that, it is not judgment. He's taken my judgment. That's right. But these people were not actually born again. Oh my, they thought they were. They went to church. They believed the Bible, so-called. And many of them even said they believed the message. But it's proven evident they were not truly born again and have a new nature and eternal life living in them as their possession already. Now watch, the ones who qualify for the first resurrection of the bride are not in the judgment. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That is, the believer is already the recipient of eternal life. Oh my, which he has in his possession now. Now, don't you understand why? Oh, glory. This is what gives an eternal quality to the elect that makes them different than everybody else. And shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come into judgment. It's what it really says. But is passed permanently from death unto life. But notice carefully. Jesus must have had yet another group in mind, who at a certain resurrection will receive eternal life. Now who are these going to be? Non-elect. Those who are not in the Lamb's book of life, but the book of life. You see, when the angel of Revelation 10 came down, he had in his hand a little book. These are big book people. And I saw a book open, another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the book. But that's not the Lamb's book of life. You see, the judgment has passed from those who are found written in the Lamb's book of life. They cannot be judged. Amen. They are free from that because Christ took their place. What if God would have dealt with Lamb's book of life people only? These people would have never existed. But God's mercy was so great. He didn't just want to save the elect. He wanted to save everybody that would allow him to be saved. Look at Cain last night. The prophet said God loved him. God went after him. God dealt with him as far as time-wise more than he did with Abel. Look at the people out here in the world today. Will they ever accept the message? No. Will they truly be born again of the word of God of the hour? No, they will not. But God loves them. He does not want them to perish. Oh my. Now what? So this group of people, they come up and they stand there. They says they will receive it at the resurrection, not previously having it as a member of the bride. Amen. The first resurrection has nothing to do with the second death. This is the end of the 1,000 years and all the rest of the dead live again. So now the millennium has already been lived out. In the millennium is the bride and the bridegroom, and of course the heathens, which had been raised, which never had the opportunity to hear truth. Right? A promise of the Messianic Psalm in Psalm 2. I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but there will be people under the reign of the Son of David in the millennium that will make up their mind to follow the devil instead of following Christ. Can you imagine? We're living here in glorified bodies. We're appearing and disappearing and whatever more glorified bodies will do. And these unregenerate human beings will see it, and still at the end of the millennium they'll choose to follow the devil. Can't you see why God had to have election? What if God would have led you to your own choice and your own demise? Lord have mercy, where would we be today? So what did he do? He foreknew his own. But then he said, I'm going to open up my doors of mercy. Whosoever will, let him come. Cain, you want to be saved? You can. Esau, you want to be saved? You can. Church members, you're not my seed, you're not my kind, but you can be saved. Notice he said, now we do not need to guess about those who in the second resurrection are given life. We are told it is given to them on the grounds that they have been kind and good to the brethren. Those who are raised and cast into the lake of fire will be so treated because of their mistreatment of the brethren. Friends, it will make no difference how much you've given to the poor, what you have done as far as works, if you stand against the elect of God. You'll be lost. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, how could you get that? Simply, it's in the words of Jesus himself. My, my. Since this is the word of God, we simply accept it. How many accepts it? Say amen. Amen. There is no argument here. It's just a simple statement of fact. To further clarify, notice specifically the words of Matthew 25:31-46. It does not say that a shepherd is literally separating sheep from goats, but it is as a shepherd dividing sheep from goats. These are not sheep in this particular era of time. White Throne Judgment. The sheep are in his fold. They heard his voice, word, and they followed him. Amen. They already have eternal life and cannot come into the judgment. But these on the right hand side, these do not have eternal life. Now their preachers told them, believe and you've got eternal life. And they said, I believe. And they said, well, you've got eternal life. Wow. Now what about this Holy Ghost? Oh, that them days is past. What about this water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus? Oh, you don't know that. Well, we believe right here. We do what Jesus said instead of what Peter said. So we believe it. Now what about that Malachi 4? No, the days of prophets is past. We don't need them no more. And yet many of them get saved. Many of you work with good saved Baptist or good saved Methodist or good saved Pentecostal. As a matter of fact, some of them live better than some of the message folks do. They'll treat you nicer. Well, glory to God. I said they'll treat you nicer. And they're doing the very best they know. Let them treat you nice. You might help save them. Don't misunderstand me, but when folks want to do nice things for me, I let them if it's within reason. It might be their salvation. Good Lord, Brother Donnie, who in the world do you think you are? Elect, chosen, predestinated from the foundation of the world. Why? I have a hard time with that. It wasn't my words. It's Jesus. This is how Jesus looks at his bride with such value. them treating you nice may save their soul. Them being mean to you will damn them forever. That boss of yours that constantly picks on you, that boss of yours that hates you, I wouldn't want to stand in his or her shoes for all of this world. Amen. Come on, children. Oh, my. Notice now, these do not have eternal life. They are in the judgment. They are allowed to go into. Notice, eternal life is separate from themselves. Eternal life is a sphere, a dimension, a realm, a world. They've heard it preached many for years of their life, but they never truly experienced it. But the elect have already been baptized into eternity. This gives you an eternal quality. Friends, we're not different just because of our hair. You sisters aren't just different because of your dress. The real elect of God differentiate from the soul. From the soul. We already have eternal life. The essence of the eternal kingdom is living in us day by day by day. Lord Jesus. They are allowed to go into eternal life, but upon what grounds do they enter into life eternal? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have His life, as does the bride. But they receive it because they were kind to His brethren. They are not His brethren. Right. That would make them joint heirs with Jesus. They are not heirs to anything but life. But I'll tell you one thing, there won't be a sad one among them. Man, you're sitting here this morning, we're thinking, poor old things, they're about to shout their shoe heels off as they come through the gates. They're not saying, poor old me, poor old me. They're saying, glory to God, I got life. Glory to God, I got life. Glory to God, I got life. I inherited this kingdom which was prepared for me from the womb of the world. God in His mercy gave me love. Oh God, I didn't realize when I was taking up for that man. I didn't realize when I was doing that to that bride. I didn't realize that was Jesus in her. You see, friends, it's part of the hidden mystery of who God is. If God made this publicly known to all the inhabitants of the world, people would treat you like royalty every day. But they'd be doing it with the wrong motive. So it's like God veils Himself in the secrecy of His hidden chamber in the inner sanctum of the bride's soul. And then those who have a quality which is above these others on the left, because they are also a different category, then they will do it simply because it's something in them, the best that they know, and they just feel like they should do it. You know, a Nicodemus. A Nicodemus, which we know as far as the scripture writes it down, was the first man to ever hear the doctrine of the new birth. And never got it. He was never born again. But he'll go into eternal life at that day because he was kind to the brethren. He heard about eternal life, heard the doctrine of eternal life, heard Jesus speak about eternal life. But eternal life in this life can only come to the recipients whose name is on the Lamb's portion of the book of life. Boy, if there's a bunch of Presbyterians here this morning, they'd be shouting. At least on this part. Now watch this. Oh my. They are allowed to go into eternity. eternal life, but at what ground do they enter into life eternal? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have his life, as does the bride. But they received it because they are kind to his brethren. They are not his brethren. That would make them joint heirs of Jesus. They're not heirs to anything but life. They share no throne with him. Their names must have been in the book of life and not removed. Now, because of their love of the people of God, Lordship, not just their love for God, not just their love for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Bible, and the Scripture, and missionary work, but their love for the people of God. They are recognized and saved. No doubt these served and helped the children of God. Perhaps like Nicodemus and Gamaliel. I imagine old Gamaliel that day, he probably thought there was nothing that was accomplished out of his little mini sermon that he preached to the Sanhedrin. As he said, men and brethren, we better be careful what we're doing. If this be of God, if it's of men, it'll come to naught. But if these men are led of God, and if this work be of God, we'll find ourselves fighting against God. And when Gamaliel walks up before the Lord Jesus that day, on his great video screen, as we'll say, and Gamaliel's mini sermon is preached again before the Sanhedrin. Amen. And the king will look to Gamaliel and say, enter in. You stood for my apostles. You never become one. You could never really see the truths of who I was and what I did. But you stood for my people in the time of trouble. You was a good man, Gamaliel. You was a good man. You did everything that you knew to do. But you know what, Gamaliel? You never received the quickening of eternal life. But you stood for me. Lord Jesus, when did I stand for you? That day when they was going to accuse Peter and John and my brothers. You stood for me. You imagine Peter and John and James. Lord, can we speak? Come ahead, my brothers. And John and Peter and James, and those that were fixing to be beaten, they said, he stood for us at that day. We'll stand for him now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the king will look at Gamaliel and say, enter into these joys. Now you realize, not only does the Lord Jesus know how many elect will be saved, but he foreknew how many foolish virgins would be saved. This was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. So he knows how many foolish virgins will be saved. He knows how big to build the city. He knows how many theophanies there need to be for the saints of God. The fall away is not reduced the amount of theophanies that the Lord's got in heaven. People leaving the message, God said, oh, let's shrink heaven down, angels, let's bring it on down. I didn't realize that many people's going to leave the message in the last days. So let's bring it on down, shrink it on down. Then they have a revival over in Iran, and they have a revival over in Iraq, which is going on right now, and folks are being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and accepting the message of Aaron's. God said, uh-oh, let's shrink it, let's make heaven bigger now. I didn't realize he knew who would be saved and who wouldn't before the foundation of the world. He not only knew that for the elect, he knows it for every one of these people right here too. They stood for the children of God in the time of trouble. It is the second resurrection wherein the foolish virgin come up. Notice that they were virgins. They did not have the Holy Spirit, so they missed being in the bride. While the five wives who had all became a part of that bride. But these people being a separated, God-loving people, and trying to abide in the Word. Now listen, it's describing this group further. It ain't somebody to come along on the side of the road and change the tire for you one time. God's going to give them eternal life. A God-loving people trying to abide in the Word according to what they knew of it. And being a help in the work of the Lord will come up at the end time. They will miss the millennium. Which you can begin to see by these truths is much more important and wonderful than we've ever thought or believed. All these people had their names in the Lamb's book. Notice the white throne. There's not one Lamb's book of life person there. Before the throne. They're all in the throne. What will it be for those who have blessed this prophet and his message? When they walk up before the judgment seat of Christ. And there stands the very man they said led people astray. The very man they called a false prophet, a liar, and a devil. And there he stands in his glorified body. Them eyes looking on them. What will it be for every pastor? The prophet tells us discerning of spirits in Phoenix in 1960 that knowing as ministers, we will be judges. And he said, you will be judged and you will go into or get out of that city into the kingdom of God based upon your attitude toward the word that we have brought you. We said, Brother Darnell, what if I'm bride? If you're a bride, you're going to be in the throne with me. And with Jesus. And with Brother Branham. And with Paul. Your attitude reflects where you are. But if not, if you've sat in this church and played church, I'll meet you again. Friends, God have mercy. Don't make me be your judge. Don't make me be your judge. If you don't go, you go somewhere else. Don't make your pastor be your judge. Don't make your pastor have to stand there and witness. God, I told them the truth Sunday after Sunday, and they wouldn't do it. God, they wouldn't do it. God, they lied on me. They run me down. They mistreated me. Can you imagine when these people stand there, this other category, and they walk up before them, there stands that pastor. They run down. Lord Jesus. Notice in paragraph, page 279 rather. First of all, we know most assuredly the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in Himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth the people like unto Himself that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in Him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. Glory to God. That ought to make us feel like cutting a shower a little bit around here. That ought to make us feel like running up down the aisles and saying, glory, hallelujah. You were foreknown by God before you ever come on the earth. She was redeemed by His blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be under judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Romans 4:8, blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, but indeed she will be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world and even angels. I can't wait for that. Them devils that lied to you and them demons that tormented you and them devils that made you sick and oppressed, one day they'll stand before you with their knees knocking. Hallelujah to God. Who better to judge fallen angels than the very saints of God they tormented? If God will not allow mortals to go into the kingdom of God because of their bad treatment of you, oh, the condemnation that waits demons that tormented you. It will please Him to allow you to judge them. We'll not do it out of vindictiveness. We'll not do it out of human anger. We'll not do it out of revenge. We'll do it out of the justice of our husband. Lord Jesus, merciful God. Notice this. Judging the world, even angels, her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Secondly, there is another class. Uh-oh. Their names also in the Book of Life. They will come up in the second resonance. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous. Foolish virgins and the righteous. That's what's spoken of in Matthew 25. In this class, also those who do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. Children, if you're born again today, I'm telling you what, you ought to be so grateful to God. If you are born again, I don't care what you go through in life, if you are born again, it is absolutely the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Not being born again, they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. And if there are those who enter into life eternal after the white throne judgment solely on the grounds of being good and kind and just to the elect of God who are His brethren, then we cannot but accept that.
Amen.
I mean, accepts it. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He should instruct him? Rather, let us be subject in faith to Him who is our Father and live. Now watch. Let's change it. Give me a few more minutes. Then shall He also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared not for you, but for the devil and his angels. Look at the mercy of God, friends. God never made hell for no mortal. Why? It's not His will that any mortals would go there. How do they go? Free moral agency. They choose to go. How did Cain go? He chose to go. For I was in hunger. Now watch how Jesus takes the same basis. I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me down in naked, and you called me not, sick and in prison, you visited me not. Me in the disguise of my little ones. Do you honestly think people would criticize me, or any other man of God, or Brother Branham, or you as children of God, if they really felt like deity was in you? If they knew this was their outcome, even if they didn't like you, they'd be afraid to say anything. What is it? They don't recognize Him. Then shall also, watch now, then shall they also answer Him saying, Lord, professed believers. Now, these are not agnostics. These are not infidels. These are not people, I don't believe there's a God. These are professed Christians. Lord, when saw we thee in hunger or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Nominal Christians. Then shall He answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. These shall go away into. Now listen, Jesus did not preach eternal hell. Look at the word there. Everlasting. Everlasting. This is how the scripture would compound those meanings many times and say, forever and forever. Ever is anion, a space of time. Jonah was in the fish's belly. He said, forever and ever. 3 days and three nights. But if you had seaweed wrapped around your neck and a belly's gut or a whale's gut, you'd probably say, seem like forever to you too. There's three spaces of time, 3 days and three nights, ever and ever and ever. I didn't think I was ever getting out of there. Notice how Jesus says, everlasting, not eternal. What do we see? The grace of God to finally annihilate hell. To finally annihilate the lake of fire. Then he answered them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did to the least of these, you did it not to me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life. Ah. So the unrighteous, the ungodly, will go into everlasting punishment according to their deeds. Years will be accumulative according to their works. Some may go there and burn for 1,000 years. Some may burn for 500 years. Who knows? According to their works. But eventually, they will be consumed. But not even these foolish virgins will ever be destroyed. Why? It's where they go. It's where they go. And how did they get there? Dealing with you. Jesus incarnated in bride form. Friends, let me close. Maybe we ought to consider if we cause people trouble and problems. We shouldn't want to do it for anybody that's evil, much less God's people. Before you post some idiotic something or another on Facebook, think about what you're posting. Is that going to benefit the kingdom of God? Is that going to help people? Is that going to hurt people? Is that going to add conflict and difficulty to my pastor? Don't you folks think I have enough to deal with the way it is? Why would any of you want to add to my load? Please explain to me. You have free course right now to please stand and tell me. Please give me and this congregation a personal explanation why you would want to add to my load. If you don't go here, wherever you go to church, why would you want to add to your pastor's load? Why would you want to add to your mother's load? Or your father? Or your husband? Or a brother or sister? Why would we want to do that? I'll tell you where it comes from. Selfishness. Selfishness. We give vent and in our anger and whatever more, we do this and that and the other instead of thinking it through. What are the consequences of what I'm fixing to do and say? Think of it. A lot of folks look at the non-elect and think, poor little things. It's so unjust of God. To me, I see such mercy. Let's reminisce the story again. Life is like this gigantic pawn shop of humanity. Certain ones are sitting on the shelves with tags on them, which means they're ready to be sold. The owner did not come in with the tag. Others are sitting all lined through the shop, but the owner walks in. The Lord Jesus. And he says, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. Here's my copy of the deposits. So he loads up his buggy full of all those names that was on the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world. But before he goes up to the cash register to cash out, he turns around to the rest of us, which he does not have a predestinated tag in his hand to match. Speaking of election. And he says to them, whosoever will, let him come. And a bunch of them chainsaws and garden sprayers and sewing machines and sergers and, my goodness, mixers and toasters and roasters and all kinds of things. They go to jumping off the shelves and say, I want to go, Lord. I want to go, Lord. I know you didn't ordain me to eternal life, but I want to go. Can I go? Can I go, Lord? Can I go? So he goes up to the rat cash register and said, I want to pay for all of these that are mine. And I also want to make a way and pay for all of these who want to go who were not mine, but they're mine now. Hallelujah! You talking about grace? Grace. So friends, listen. Whether you're bride or whether you're not, you can go if you want to go. Don't feel sorry if you say, well, I'm not bride. I can't go. He has made a way for you to go even if you're not bride. Now, I believe I'm bride. I hope and pray to God I'm bride. But I'm going to be there whether I'm bride or not. Because I want to go. Isaiah 65:9, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritance of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Isaiah 65:22, the scriptures of the great seventh and eighth day as they merge together. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Praise God. Don't you love Him with all your heart? Amen. Whether you're bride or whether you're a foolish virgin, we could all sing the song we were singing earlier. I would not be denied. I will not be denied. I'm going to be there. So if you don't like me, you need to adjust your attitude, because you're going to spend eternity with me. Whether in the city or without. Praise God. Don't you love Him, friends? I find it so amazing that the people that think because we preach election and predestination, we're cruel. And many of those same people preach eternal hell. Election is not cruel. Predestination is not cruel. Eternal hell? Now that's cruel. A person lives to be 15 years old. They go out and get drunk on their graduation party or whatever more and wrap a car around a tree, and they're going to burn for eternity for 15 years of life. Come on. That's not my God. Even the devil, after he suffered sufficient, will cease to exist. As I said before, I wish I knew the devil's birthday so I could send him a birthday card to remind him he had a day he started, and that means he has a day he'll die. But I can't send you no birthday card of your soul, because you never did start and you never will end. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you today for your word, Lord. I've always known since a little boy you were merciful. But I have never known your mercy was so great. Ever since I began to see election and predestination, you begin to show me that even when I was in Pentecost, where I came to the message. And I saw that your mercy was so great to the elect. But to see to the non-elect, to the foolish virgin, to those that are not even of your own kind, your mercy is so great. Lord Jesus, help each of us today. None of our works do we want to do them with reward in mind.
then it becomes legalism. But we want to do things because it's the right thing to do. So I heard a story the other day of a certain man that moved to a coal mining country. A little while after the man was there, that he had failed and hurt himself. And there was another man in the coal mine, which was a Christian. This other man that had hurt himself was going to be out of work for about 2 months. So this man that was a Christian went to his boss and asked him, "Can I work his shift so his family won't be without a paycheck?" For two months, this man worked his shift and also the shift of that other man, and gave every penny of the money to the other man so his family would have sustenance and a means to live. Of course, his fellow coal miners heard about it, and the different family members, "What in the world made you do that? What in the world?" And he said, "It was the right thing to do." This man wasn't a message believer, just a nominal Christian. Lord, if people like that would do it, what about us message folks? How we should look for opportunities to be kind to one another. Try to avoid every bit of sarcasm that we can. Oh, we all have our faults, and so many, many of them. But sometimes when we're so low, all it takes is a little bit more sarcasm from another believer to put us almost to the brink of no return, to where we feel like, why even go any farther? And many times it's not the devil himself doing it. It's the devil using our friends or our Christian believers. It'll gouge us and say things back and forth. Lord Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness today. Forgive me, Lord, for anything I've ever said or done to any of your children that would have brought on them unnecessary battles. I believe one of my missions in life on this earth is to help make life easier for your people if I can. Forgive me, Lord, if I've ever inflicted upon anyone a hardship. Forgive me if I brought even on those that are beyond your brethren anything that made life more difficult for them. Help me to be like you, Lord Jesus. I don't see you going about just inflicting hardship and difficulty on people for the fun of doing it. I don't see your prophet. He lived his life, spent his life for others. He didn't just have a prayer line for all message people. Now all you message people line over on this side, and all you denominational people line up on the other side, so I won't pray with as much sincerity. He never done any such thing. He would have never known that some of those women had bobbed hair and earrings and painted lips. Some of them had on pants or whatever Moors would say in our day. But he prayed with as much sincerity for those that looked holiness. But we tend to pray selectively and love selectively. And we're kind to those that are kind to us. And those who aren't, we don't give them the time of day. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us. Help us, Lord. As I said, we're not doing this for merits or favor. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray, in my tenure as the pastor here at the church, please, God, help me, that I'll try to do everything I can to encourage these people, to help them. I'm not foolish enough to believe everybody that's ever sat here is bride. You're the only one that determines that anyway. But may I love them all the same. May I reach to them with sincerity. God, help me that I can reach out. We love you today, Father. With our heads bowed, how many of you would like to be remembered before the Lord? You want to be more like Him. To love and to reach out. Even beyond our own church or our own belief, as we would say, of the message. Just to be kind. Show a kind word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you today. Make us more like you, Father. We cannot discipline ourselves to do this sort of thing. It takes your love to be so filled in our beings that it pours out of us. Lord, that it's an automatic life. But you do take the word to teach us
how that we can be more conscious of it, Lord. When we walk out of here today, was that consciousness stirred within us that we want to do good to the household of faith, and to all men, as much as it lies within our ability. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. Baptize us afresh today in the love of God. Praise the Lord. Can we just raise our hands? May your being be an open cup today, as it were. May the Holy Ghost just come down and so saturate us. You husbands will find it easier to love your wives, and you wives, your husbands, and your children. You'll find it easier to deal with those that are in the darkness of this world. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let our light so shine before men, Father, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you, Lord. It's already ours. It's in our possession today. And the rapture will come for those who have already been raptured. The resurrection is for the resurrected. We have experienced a new birth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, mighty God. If there's anybody here today that hasn't had it yet, may God fill you. If you haven't had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may this morning be your time, that the Spirit of God will fill you and give you a new birth. Not just believing the message, not just believing doctrines, but to where you're truly born again. Born again. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship the Lord together now. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
Make me more.
We worship you, Lord.
Like
thee. Grant it, Jesus.
Jesus, make
Amen.
Me more.
Oh,
like thee.
Hallelujah. Together in one accord.
Oh, man.
that's filled with love.
To be like him? Listen to our opening scripture, Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. What will that be exactly? Streaks of light coming from him? What did Paul say was the glory of a man? The woman. The Lord will come with 10,000s. Of his saints. It won't just be light. It won't just be streaks of glory. He will be coming in his glory. You. With you. You are the glory of Calvary. You are the glory of his crowning achievement. Seeing millions of redeemed mortals standing there in the throne of God with him. He has come in his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, don't that make you want to be like him so much, dude? I don't want to just wait to get there to be his glory. Let me be his glory now. Let me reflect his glory. Notice how Jesus says this, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And what will be his glory? Millions, billions of humans as they walk up before him. And there's millions of regenerate human beings in glorified bodies. The glory of the cross. The glory of the Lamb's Book of Life. The glory of predestination. The glory of the man. His wife. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For I reckon that the present sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory shall be revealed in us at that day. Robes and crowns and castles and mansions and streets of gold, that don't interest me. But to be identified with my husband, what greater glory could we have? Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's just praise him a little more, can we, before we go? To me, friends, let's just worship him now. To me, to recognize his presence. Let's just spend a little few moments in his glory. Hallelujah.
More love.
Yes, Lord.
More power.
More power, Lord.
More of you
in my life. Amen. Amen.
More love.
Yes, Lord.
More power.
More glory. More personification.
More of you.
More Shekinah.
I will worship you with all of my heart.
Let's worship him, saints.
I will worship you.
Hallelujah.
With all of my mind.
My mind, Lord.
I will worship you with all of my strength.
Yes, Lord.
You are mine.
Desire, make it your prayer now.
Oh, more love.
Adonai, mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we bless your holy name today. From the Shekinah which is within our souls, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we come from behind the veil where the cherubims have cloaked the glory of God. And we say to you, thank you. Thank you for mercy. And grace and forgiveness. Thank you for understanding we are mere mortals. Thank you for bringing us to repentance. Bringing us to an acknowledgement that we need to move up, Lord. We believe today these are not mere words that we've heard. But we believe a power has been released in this place today. That will help us not only to hear it, but to do it. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. I bless your name, Lord. I worship you, Lord. So we depart now. I pray that you'd go with us each to our homes or separate ways. We may never meet again quite in the same setting again. But how we long for that day. Praise God. When we will not stand before the white throne. But the prophet saw us in the form of a dream. And in the dream, he was standing there. And the saints of God was coming before you, not to be judged, but for rewards. So a name was called out, and a man would step out, and his wife would join her arm with him. And he'd say, I know that brother. I know that brother. And he would walk out and face you. You'd tell him, well done, you've done this and you've done that, well done. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And you saw another and another and another. Because your bride was not being judged. She was not being shamed. She was not being humiliated. And then he heard his own name called. And he steps out. And walks up before you. Praise God. Lord, that's what we long for. To see you, blessed Jesus. Until that time arrives, keep us. Keep us in your love. Keep us in your grace. Hallelujah. Go with them now, Lord. Protect them on the highways, I pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said, amen. How many can say, it's been good to be in the house of God? Thank you, Lord. Each of our visitors that have visited with us today,
God bless you. Trust you've been blessed as you've sat with us in our gates. All the home folks, we love you, of course, every day, all the time. We thank you for being here as well. As your pastor, Happy Valley, I don't want one of you to be missing that day. You young people, you middle-aged, all of you, I want to see every one of you. I want to spend eternity with you. Praise the Lord. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to be there? No matter how much I want it, you have to be there as well. By God's grace, I'm going to be there. I want to see you. I want to spend eternity with you. This time is so short in life. Sometimes I go months and months and never get to shake some of y'all's hands. Well, stand in line. When we get there, you can have all the time you want. Nobody will be in a hurry. We ain't going nowhere. No clocks, thank God. No iPhones, no Androids, nothing. No buzzers. There'll never be an alarm clock. Go off in heaven. We'll have plenty of time, good singing and shouting and rejoicing and Christ revealing Himself through eternity. You're not going anywhere. Nothing is, oh my, no time schedule to keep. Won't that be wonderful? That's not a dream, friends. It's the truth. And we're closer now than we have ever been. Praise God. God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Tell them, I want to meet you there, brother, sister. Sing for us, Harry, as we go.
I'm gonna make it.
Amen, Lord.
He's already said that I will. I'll keep on trusting.
Boy,
that He's working
everything.
Let's go, Jerry.
Beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through.
Let's sing it together.
He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it. Gonna make it.